Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everyone, it's your favorite fetish doll, Emily Snow. Make sure to tune in to my new show, Nocturnal Addictions, where we answer all your freaky questions.
Hello and welcome to Nocturnal Addictions, hosted by fetish doll Emily Snow. Hello, Emily. How are you?
Doing pretty good. How are you?
Great. You need to turn your volume down there, girly girl. Awesome. There we go. We were getting a little bit of a delay, that radio delay we have there. I'm horror painter Sissy Pesticide. I'm running the board. I produce Emily's show. And basically just do what she tells me to do. I have a button fetish. So there you go. And hey, for those just tuning in, if you want to watch a high-def video feed of Emily, what you do is you go to http://tv. That's like transvictor. FetishDollEmily.com. And you can see her right there in all her glory, or take a look at either of our Facebook pages, and there's the link right there, too. So, Emily's live from Houston, Texas. How are you, Emily?
Doing pretty wonderful. It's beautiful outside. It's still summer here. I know a lot of places fall's coming and starting to cool down a little bit, but we are still in full swing in Houston.
That's excellent. Wow, it looks like you got some kind of little skirt on there, some cute little outfit. Did you get new ink? I'm seeing all kinds of new tattoos on you or something, it looks like. Or
oh, no, I just dyed my hair. I have, like, teal bangs.
Ah.
Maybe it's more colorful.
Maybe that's what it is. Or those fabulous pink nails there I just saw when you took a hit of your cigarette. Beautiful, my dear, beautiful.
Yes, yes.
Looking
thank
good
you.
As always. So tell us a little bit about this show tonight. What's going on? What do we have happening?
Oh my gosh, super exciting show. We're going to talk about different sex positions, and we're going to talk about photo shoots that I have coming up, and we have a super special guest. Some of you may have heard of her. Her name's Jessica Drake. She is a sexpert, and she's actually from San Antonio, so that's pretty cool, a Texas girl. She's going to come on and talk to us about some stuff she has going on. I know she has some DVDs and a book. She's really awesome. I know she's won a few AVN awards, too, so this should be a pretty fun show.
That's excellent. Very cool.
I hope
very
someday
cool.
I can win an AVN award, if I could be that wonderful.
Well, you know, you just keep dyeing that hair, blue girl. Just dyeing that hair. I'm kidding, of course. Of course you can. You can do anything. You put your mind to it.
You can do it, put your back into it. Oh, that's something else, huh?
That's something entirely else. Oh, my gosh. I'm blushing already. 3 minutes into the show, and I'm blushing, as always.
Aw,
how was your week? What happened? What did you have going on this weekend? Lots of fabulous things. I remember you mentioned something about a photo shoot or some such you had going on there. Some kind of shenanigan.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun this weekend. I went to a sex shop looking for photo shoot props, and I ended up getting this, like, fairy wand with a penis on the end of it. I felt like a little penis fairy. I bought that, and then on Sunday,
Harry Potter definitely would have gotten kicked out of Hogwarts for that.
Yeah, I know, right? Sunday, I had a shoot in a really tall building on, like, the top floor, and the windows kind of looked down over into the city. It was really pretty. That was with Sub Society Studio. And we got some really cool shots with Houston in the background, and I love Houston, so I'm glad I got some cool pictures.
I love that shot you posted on Facebook. I guess it was this week. As a matter of fact, we have it in our Flash rollover. For those of you on the our show page on Blog Talk Radio, who hosts our show, we have a Flash thing that runs through for advertisers and whatnot and guests we have on the show. And there's a picture of Emily. Was that the one you were talking about? Were you taken with the Houston sky? It looks like you're in a glass elevator and such, with the Houston skyline behind you. Yeah, really, that's a great photo. That could be. You should start a band just to have that as an album cover. I mean, that is phenomenal.
That's so funny that you say that, because I told the photographer, I was like, if we get caught in here and they get mad at us, because it was on the top floor of this building, and I mean, I'm sure we weren't tripping here to take a picture. And he had like a whole light set up and everything, so it was kind of obvious. And I said, if they catch me, I'm going to tell them I'm shooting my newest album cover, and maybe they'll think I'm Miley Cyrus.
Then they'll make you twerk.
Yeah, I have no problem
with
that.
You,
I will twerk my way to freedom.
Last night on my main show, Rocks Pop Rocks Radio, I had an old friend of yours on, Nurse Hella, and the hip-hop gal, you know, nerdcore hip-hop gal. And
yes,
she's doing well, by the way.
Love her.
That's right. She said to say, be sure to say hello to you and all your listeners and fans. So, hello, Pamela. She's working away on her new record. Anyway, one of the reasons I had her on was because of the VMA MTV shenanigans that went down and whatnot. And I wanted to get, you know, somebody that's been on MTV, it's in the music business and whatnot, and especially a young girl, get her take on that. What was your take, Emily? I'm curious to know before I tell you what she told me.
Okay. First off, I love Miley. I know I'm going to get so much shit for that, but she is so hot. She's so hot, and I love her, and I encourage her twerking. I think she's getting just as much shit as Britney Spears did back when she wore that, like, skin-colored sequin outfit. That was when I was, like, 10 or 11. So I remember everyone was like, oh, my God, my children saw that. And I didn't really think it was too bad, and I was a little kid. And with the way that times are going now, it's going to get more and more extreme like that, and that's just the way the world is. So what's shocking now is, it's on the same level as what Britney Spears did way back in the day. It's just more acceptable to get in latex and twerk now. And I mean, I see girls do it all the time. I guess I have like weird circumstances that I'm in where I go out a lot, but I see girls twerking upside down. I've seen girls, there was a contest I did last year. I think I did the show that night. There was a bikini contest at Jet Lounge, and all the girls were upside down in bikinis twerking, and it was during winter, so it was freezing outside, and they were twerking for a $100 cash prize. So, you know, there's no shame in twerking. It's a widespread thing. I think people are kind of crazy.
It's definitely the new little fad dance, I would say, and I don't know. People, are complaining about Facebook. I'm like, hey, I lived through the Macarena. I think I can handle twerking. This stuff comes and goes. I don't know. I personally, and this is Nurse Hella, we kind of were in agreement. We were both a little disappointed. We had heard so much about it that we were expecting it to be a little more outrageous than it was. You know, we were like, really? That's it? Kind of tamed him up, but I don't know. I there was part of me that said that, and I got to be honest with you, because you know me, I'm an old fogey, I'm an old club rat. There was part of me that went, finally, your generation is getting it right. Finally, some kids are going to start chucking tees on a hotel room windows and, doing rock and roll. But no, that's all they were doing.
Yeah, she's pretty rock and roll. I'm going to say that I think she's a little bit too skinny now, and she's kind of less. I like really skinny girls. Like, that's my thing. I like you to be super tiny, but I think that it kind of made her look baggy, and she got a lot of shit for that. She probably could use a sandwich or two, just saying. I mean, I like right. skinny girls, but if your skin's saggy, eat a cheeseburger, you know?
Well, that's just it. People were freaking out on Facebook. I was quick to post. I think you saw it. The infamous David Bowie doing mock fellatio on Mark Ronson, or Mick Ronson, or Mark Ronson, I'm saying Mick Ronson on from 1972, and you know he was on stage on TV and simulated going down on his guitar player. And I posted something along the lines of, well, when it's two grown men and, you know, make high heels, it's artsy.
Yeah.
I lost a lot of friends on Facebook, actually, during all that. That's okay. I didn't want them anyway.
I want to try, like, twerk sex. Like, if you can twerk for videos, you should be able to do all those moves during sex. And there should be, like, a new term for twerking while you're having sex. I'm going to coin a term. Give me a week. Next week, I'll know what it's called.
I in the chat room says, I'm from the Bahamas, and twerking was normal there 20 years ago. The twerking they do on the island is still miles ahead and won't be aired on TV in the USA. You know, Ivy, I remember when Madonna came out with her voguing dance craze, and it was new, and everybody was like, ooh, that's so original. And I'm like, man, we've been seeing gay guys doing that in the subways in New York for the past, you know, 5-10 years. It wasn't new at all. It was new to people in Minneapolis, perhaps, but definitely not New Coast.
Definitely not. There's and what someone in the chat room was saying. They do this all around the world. We Americans are crazy people. We have the most judgmental assholes of any other country, I swear. It's terrible. I mean, I know that other countries have much bigger problems than we do, and it's silly that everybody spends all of their time arguing and fussing over stupid stuff like Miley Cyrus twerking at the Music Awards when,
it's we're all descendants in this country of uptight pilgrims and the religious nuts of every other country in the world, so there you go. On that note, so what else did you do this weekend?
I drank a lot.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. You heard it first. Emily Snow is drinking. I can't believe it.
Oh, no. I went out to this new place to eat that was pretty cool called District 7. And they had a bunch of really weird stuff on the menu, like wild boar burgers and wild boar sausage pasta. It was strange.
Did
but it was
you
really
eat
good. And it, no, I had a chicken parmesan pesto burger.
What the hell is that? I want to know what wild boar tastes like, man. And you are our that's what everybody wants to know.
There's a place in Houston, and I forget the name of it, but they sell all sorts of exotic like meats in their food, and they have python chili, they have camel burgers, kangaroo burgers, like just weird stuff. Yeah.
I don't know if I can handle that.
My friend, my photographer friend that shoots a lot of the gas mask stuff with me, he tried the camel burger, and he said that it was really strange. He didn't know quite how he felt about it, but he just wanted to be able to say, I ate a camel.
I smoked a camel one time.
Me too, and that's all I could think about while he was eating it. Like, there were cigarette butts sticking out of his burger, and then I shook my head and realized that I was imagining it. But when I hear camel, I think of the cigarette, because in my bedroom growing up, as a teenager, like an angsty teenager, I used to have this big giant camel poster in my room, and I smoked only camel cigarettes. Like, I was a diehard camel. As you can see, living in Texas, I've switched over now.
Really? What's the Texas cigarette to smoke?
Marlboro.
That's right. Okay, yeah. It's the Marlboro man. Okay.
I'm never going to say Marlboro to anybody because it's the ugliest name for a cigarette. I really think it is.
I think the best cigarette I ever had, my favorite when I was in Hong Kong, was the 555 cigarette. Good stuff. Expensive, but good stuff. I wanted to ask you now, I saw that you had asked, you put one of your famous poll questions up on Facebook. And you had asked a question about sexual positions. Well, what was the result? What did you find out? What was the question and what, so our people listening know?
Yeah, so, I don't know, most weeks I do like a little poll on Facebook. I have a lot of friends on my Facebook. If you're not my friend, I'll post a link so you can add me on there and kind of get in on it every week. But I like to ask little sex questions and see what people have to say about it. So this week's question was, what's your favorite sex position? And my general consensus is that women like to be taken by surprise from behind, bent over something, like doggy style, basically. That was the one that all the women came to. And, you know, that would be what I would pick. It's pretty weird that all the other women are into it, too. I thought that, you know, there would be more variety. But most of the women like doggy style. And talking to a few guys about it, I've come to figure out that guys seem to think that their penis gets in deeper if you do it doggy style. So they think that they're way more badass, and that's why it's kind of like a fan favorite. And it's true. You can get the penis in deeper, so I could see how that would be a good thing. A lot of people are into, you know, rough sex and stuff like that, but I thought that there would be some weird ones in there, and I only got a few weird ones. A few people like to do it up against the wall, and a lot of people said reverse cowgirl, which is interesting to me because I've never been a big fan of that position, only because I wonder, and I'm sure guys love it, but as a girl, I wonder why a guy would want to stare at my butthole, like, the entire time, because that's all they would see. And like I said, for a guy, they probably love it. But me, I'm like, why is this guy staring at my butthole? This is weird. Like, he can't see my face. I don't know. That's just how I feel about reverse cowgirl. I guess I'm kind of biased because I think it's weird. Let's see. Somebody wrote, my favorite position is the one where I actually have it so far only in my dreams. Guys, that does not make you look good. That is not the kind of answers we're looking for. You have to make sure to be confident. You have to be confident in your response. If you want women to come to you, you must be confident. You must act like you are the hottest man on the face of the earth and you don't need no woman, and she will chase after you like a little rabbit.
That's very true. That's very true.
Yeah, but when you seem like, you know, you're really, I don't want to say desperate, but for lack of a better word, and sorry to you, it makes you seem desperate, and women don't like that. Women like to think that they're working for something. If you give it all to them, then, you know, they think they've won, and they stop trying, and they start wearing sweatpants and peeing with the door open, you know? It's just downhill from there. So you got to keep them chasing it. One of the weird ones that somebody wrote was the deck chair. Let's see. There's actually a really cool website. It's called sexinfo101.com, and they have a little sex position guide. And call me silly, but it has little animations that show you different sex positions. And it's cool because sometimes in pictures you're kind of unsure about what's going on in the picture, and, you know, it's just kind of weird. So, boy, it's just kind of weird. So it's cool to have the little animated thing. And one of the people wrote that they were really into a position called the deck chair. And that's actually, I'm going to try and explain it to the people who can't see it. It's basically missionary, but the girl's going to put her legs up in the air, kind of on the man's shoulders. So she's pulled it up like a chair, basically. Like a deck chair. And I do that all the time, but I thought that it was just doing missionary and moving your legs. But apparently it's called the deck chair, so I thought that was cool. I'm like, I'm doing the deck chair.
And there was a whole piece to it. Wow.
Yeah, I am. It's fun. Let's see. And then
we learn something new every day.
And another girl says, unexpectedly taken from behind, bent over the couch. Someone wrote mustache. I know a lot of girls are into beards. I don't know many girls that are just into plain old mustaches. I honestly think that mustaches are a little bit creepy.
Well, especially if they're, driving a van with no windows, right?
Yeah, I watch a lot of those shows, you know what I mean, that talk about people getting kidnapped and stuff like that.
Criminal like Minds and all that.
Yeah, I constantly get candy vans after me. Anytime I walk around or do anything, like walking down the sidewalk, I have major creepers. Actually, when I went to Kroger to buy fish sticks, okay? The most innocent means. Like, I go to Kroger to buy a fucking bag of fish sticks. And when I get out of Kroger, my car won't start. And I'm like, damn it, but I know it's because my battery's loose. So I get out my little wrench, like I'm going to fix it, and I open up my hood, and I'm like digging in the hood or whatever, tightening up the battery, and this creepy guy comes up to me, and he's like, you need some help? And I'm like, no, I'm fine, I got this, I'm, you know, good at fixing my car, because it's just a loose battery cable. And he continued to stand there. Well, when I went to get back in my car, he followed me over to my door, and kind of put his leg in the door when I went to close it, and he said, your legs look so good right now, I just want to eat you from the inside out. And I was like, oh my god, this guy's a total creeper. And he looked like Renee from True Blood. If anyone's ever seen True Blood, this guy totally looked like the killer from True Blood. And so I was like,
he's the cook drug deal on True Blood?
No, he's a construction worker on True Blood.
Oh, okay.
The drug dealer's Breaking Bad.
Oh, I see, okay. Well, hey, let's take a quick break, and you can get yourself another glass of wine or whatever, and we'll be right back, folks, right after these messages.
NookieBox.com is an intimate personal pleasure boutique and blog created by women. It was designed to inspire all women to celebrate their sensuality. We wanted to create a space where women can feel comfortable exploring their sexuality and owning their own personal joy and ecstasy. NookieBox.com. NookieBox.com. Unlock the box and start feeling fabulous.
Ruxgear, the online web shop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Holla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierux.us.
So, I'm a dog, and I just got adopted by this new human guy, and I'm starting to wonder how he got along without me. I mean, okay, something as simple as walking around the block. He's got this leash thing, and he puts me on one end and him on the other, and I'm just taking him around. I think he's afraid of getting lost. Without that leash and me guiding him along, I don't think he'd find his way back home. But it's kind of cute.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Nocturnal Addictions, hosted by alt model Emily Snow. Hello, Emily. How are you?
Fantabulous.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
For those just tuning in, if you go to tv.fetishemily.com, you can, are you getting up on the pole there? You can see the live high-def video stream of Fetish Doll Emily on the poll right now. Wow, amazing.
I'm not getting on the poll. I'm just fucking with people. I don't know if anybody ever saw the pictures from that. I had a friend come over here and get on the pole with me. We got up to the top and both wrapped our legs around it and then like simultaneously slid to the bottom really, really slow. But then when we got to the bottom, we both just laid there and laughed for like 10 minutes. Cute. There's pictures on my Facebook somewhere, which is why you should be my Facebook friend. Let me post a link to it.
Now, on your Facebook page, I noticed a big cover photo for the 4th annual 2013 annual erotic ball there in Houston. Why don't you tell everybody about that?
Yeah, I'm super excited about the erotic ball. It's September 20th. It's at a club called 8, which is on Washington in Houston, Texas. And it's basically, they have fire dancers, they have pole dancers, they have like a little freak show, sideshow thing they're doing with people blowing fire and spinning fire. They have body painting, they have a live sushi thing where you can eat sushi off the hot chicks. So much stuff happening. They have DJs. It's going to be a really big party, and they're letting me host part of it, so that's super fun. I'm inviting everyone. There's links to buy tickets. They're only $15 right now, which is really good. They're going to go up if you wait a few more weeks to buy them. Right now, I think they're a little early bird special. And so there's a link on my Facebook that you can go and buy tickets. If you don't have a Facebook, but you live in Houston, let's see. I'll get a link so you can still go and buy tickets. Let me see. There we go. I'll go ahead and put this in the chat room for everyone on Destin TV. If you want to go to the Erotic Ball in Houston, there's where you buy tickets. Ta-da! The Erotic Ball is going to be a lot of fun. I hosted a few things, and they've all gone pretty good. So this, I hear, is huge, like over 1,000 people will really show up, so it'll be exciting to have a big audience. Ooh, it's almost about that time. We're going to have Jessica Drake on. She's going to be awesome. She's won 3 AVN awards, which is pretty amazing. I'm happy about that. Let's see, what else can I tell you about her before she comes on? Like I'm sure many of you have heard before, she is from San Antonio, which is cool. I love girls from, they're kind of local, you know what I mean?
Right.
She got her first AVN in 2001, winning Best Tease Performance. That's pretty hot. See, someday I will be winning a performance for Best Tease. That's a very dignified title right there. I want to be that. And she's also really amazing. I'm going to call her a sexpert. She basically does what I do, but she's been in the adult film industry for a while. So she's got like all the inside scoop, which is super awesome. And she's had her own show or her own spot on a show on Playboy Radio. So she's familiar with the whole sex radio thing. So it's really cool to meet somebody else who kind of does what I do, but on a larger scale.
That's very cool.
Oh, for everybody who is on my Facebook, I love the little picture that I have blends in. It's all Houston skyline. And I will keep pushing the fact that I live in Houston every 10 minutes because people should come and visit this place. It's super awesome. And if you do ever come to Houston to visit, you can come out to one of my events and say hi.
There you go. How about that?
Yeah, everybody wants to come and be friendly, right? We have Jesus trolls in our chat room. Super funny. I love it when people come and they try and save my soul. Please don't come and save my soul. That's really creepy. if I was in, I'm not, but if I were into Satan and went in a chat room and says Satan is coming for your soul, people would think I was a psychotic person. So why is this person somehow normal? I don't know. Don't get me on a religion rant, but please stop trying to save my soul. I'm perfectly fine. I appreciate your efforts, but doing good. What did I do today? I went all the way out to Clear Lake today. Oh my. That's a fun drive. For those of you who live in the area, know that drive well. Tons of traffic. Ugh. I was stuck in traffic forever. In Houston, traffic gets so bad. It's the kind of traffic where you can literally, like, one time I got out of my car. It was in park. I got out of my car. I stood up and on the hood of my car. And I took a picture with my phone of all the traffic in front of me just because I could. There we go. I posted a link so that you can hear the radio show directly. Every week we broadcast at radio.fetishdollemily.com. And then after the show, there's a little link where you can listen to past shows and you can go on iTunes and search for me.
Hey, Emily?
I
hate to interrupt, but we have Jessica Drake live on the air with us. Hello, Jessica.
Yay. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing awesome. How are you?
Can you guys hear me all right?
Yeah.
Coming through loud and clear here.
Great.
Yay, we're all right, on. Great. Wow, so I was just reading some stuff about you. I'm very, very impressed with what you do. I'm a big fan. My biggest thing that I want to kind of give you praise for that I really liked is you did a guide to wicked sex, and you did a whole section on different sex positions, which is actually kind of the topic for the night, so it works great because you seem to be quite the expert on it.
I just have a lot of practice. I started doing the instructional line for Wicked because I was doing a lot of appearances at adult stores, and I was getting asked a lot of sex-related questions, not just from guys, but from a lot of women, too. And Positions is actually the second DVD that I did in the series, and it's super popular. It's basic positions. You know, I take some very basic positions and show people how to spice them up a little bit, but there will be an advance down the line.
Ooh, I might have to skip over to the advanced one.
Exactly.
I've been tweaking the kind of the normal positions for a while, and I thought I was super creative until I looked at a few websites and saw what some people are doing, and I'm like, wow, it's like gymnastics for sex. So it would be cool if somebody would explain how you get your leg over there and where you're supposed to put your hands and, you know, where to kind of put your body weight. And it's really awesome that you can kind of go in and explain that for people, because looking at pictures, it's just so hard. It's hard to understand, and, you know, reading some text about it doesn't really help either. And having a beautiful woman explain it to you seems to really sink in for a lot of people.
Well, I hope it does. I hope I do a great job with it. You know, I think it's mostly about letting people know and reassuring them that even when it's awkward, it can still be really good. Because sex is awkward, and it isn't always perfect. And the reality is you don't always know where to put your hands or, you know, where to find your center of gravity. But, I mean, it can still be wonderful, you know. I'm just happy to be a part of people who really want to be better in bed.
Yeah, and especially 2013, it seems like it's been a big year for people to kind of explore different sides of themselves. I've been working in the phone sex industry for about 5 years, and this year I'd have to say I've learned a lot of new stuff that I didn't even know existed, and I thought that I had been through every fetish and I had heard everything, but this year a lot of people and even a lot of my old customers are trying new things and wanting to know about different things and kind of expand their horizons, you know, so having someone to help you out with that, whether it be through books or DVDs or just a silly podcast like mine, I like knowing that you can kind of help people open up in that way, because sex is a beautiful thing and it's perfectly natural. And I think that, you know, a lot of times sex is seen as something really graphic.
I think it's podcasts like this are exactly what makes people more comfortable seeking out the knowledge. And I mean, I think that's the biggest difference these days, is because of the accessibility of podcasting and radio shows and blogs and things like that. You know, people can get this information easier now than they ever have before. And so I think that what you're doing is really great. You know, you're really into the grassroots part of it, and people love it.
And weren't you on a podcast as well? I think I read that too.
Yeah, and I did a podcast on iTunes for about 2.5 years, and right now I host a show for Playboy Radio that I've done for about three and a half years called In Bed with Jessica Drake. We were on Sirius for 2 years, and now we stream live and free on PlayboyRadio.com. I do my show once a week, and I would love to have you on my show.
Oh, that'd be awesome. What day of the week do you usually do your show?
My show's on Tuesdays, and it's during the day. So, yeah, we could make something happen for sure.
Tuesday sounds like a good day. I like that early week sex stuff. It seems like a lot of people, they get real kinky on the weekend, but then come Monday morning, they have something else exciting except for work. So I like doing my show on a Wednesday, kind of like a little hump in the week where you can kind of perk people back up and get them excited for the weekend. So,
yeah.
We actually have a question. Somebody wants to know if you were in Sex Games Cancun.
Sex Games Cancun, no, not unless that was some type of a compilation movie that I'm not aware of. A lot of the time, it's really tricky when you're in the business, because sometimes, maybe it was a softcore project that I did. It all depends on when they saw it.
They said it was on
you never know.
So.
Ah, well, then that would have been the softcore series that I've done. Yeah, it is very possible. Something else that happens, though, when we do these features, the Skinamax and Showtime sort of thing, you never know if they're going to change the title on you. And sometimes it happens that you shoot a show or you shoot a movie, and then a fan will come up to me at a convention and say, oh, yeah, hey, I saw you on whatever, I Want to Bang Your Husband, or something like that, you know, and you're like, I never did a movie with that title, so you just never know. Well, chances are, I mean, if it was good, yes, it was me.
Yeah, if you enjoyed it, then it was absolutely her. Somebody in the chat room said, how can normal people become porn stars? Actually, from my experience, I have a lot of people that have asked me about it, but no big companies, because I'm in Houston, and I mean, weren't you from San Antonio, right? Where did you get your start?
I am.
Did you have to move out to Cali, or did you start here?
Well, I actually started in Texas. I was born and raised in San Antonio, and I was actually living in El Paso. And I was going to college during the day, and I was stripping at night. And, you know, I wanted to be a feature dancer, because I saw the girls come through the club and, you know, do the theme shows and make a ton of money. And I said, I want to try that. You know, I was always really comfortable on stage and loved putting on shows. So I applied with an agency to be a feature dancer, and in doing that, I met a couple of photographers in the industry and people that just wanted to get me involved in it. And, I mean, it's a really big step. Fortunately, I was around a group of people that really told me what to expect and told me some really important things, you know, just getting in. I didn't actually do an adult movie for about a year. I came out to California a few times. I met people. I asked a lot of questions. I went to the set of a movie. I wanted to understand how it all worked. I did dance out here just a little bit, you know, to sort of have something to do to make money while I was deciding if I wanted to do porn. But I actually did my first movie about a year after that, and I had already done magazines and shows on Cinemax and Showtime and Playboy TV, and, you know, I just wanted to try it. And I thought, you know, I'm going to try it. If I don't like it, I'll never do it again, you know. And I was actually working in the business for about 6 months before I moved to California. I love Texas, by the way. You're in Houston. And I love Houston so much. As a matter of fact, I was there not long ago. And I love all of East Texas. I've got friends all over Texas. I can never get enough Texas.
Oh, well, next time you come, we're going to have to go do something.
That would be awesome.
Get you in the Houston spirit.
I would love it.
So where are you usually at now? Do you like Cali more? Have you kind of drifted away from Houston after seeing how awesome Cali is? Because I would love to make a trip out there. I hear great things about it.
You know, it's wonderful, but I have to say I feel like such a traitor right now when I say this, but I like Texas better. You know, California's great. Because you can kind of get a little bit of everything, you know. We have the ocean, we have mountains, we have desert, we have, you know, everything. But so does Texas, you know. And I remember when I first moved out here, I was in a grocery store, and I was talking to people in line because that's just what I do. I'm like, hey, I'm going, you know, whatever. Talking about whatever, and these people backing away from me because it just doesn't happen here like that. People are not as outgoing. I don't want to say they're not as friendly, but they're just not friendly very quickly. You know, you definitely have to know people for a bit before it happens. But yeah, I'm sure they thought I was a serial killer.
It's really true. People here, they do walk up to you and you just start a conversation. You can be in line and, you know, have a 15-minute conversation with a stranger and even develop friendship out of it. It's kind of strange. I guess the whole Southern hospitality thing is actually a real thing because I've lived in Michigan before for a few years, and people were not like that there either. They were really kind of standoffish at first. Not to say that they weren't as friendly, but like you said, it just kind of, you have to win them over a bit. They're not just so quick to start a conversation with them.
Yeah, you know, it's different. It definitely took some getting used to. But, I mean, I really do like it out here. And another really great thing is that California really is the melting pot. So you meet people that are coming from all over the place, you know. So, I mean, you see a lot of different people. And I'm just as friendly as I was before, you know, so...
Awesome. So do you have any cool projects?
And there's always travel. You know, I do a fair amount of travel as well. You mentioned that you were living in Michigan for a while. Next week I'll actually be in Michigan. I'm in Michigan on Thursday. I'm doing a seminar in Norton Shores. And then on Friday I'm doing a seminar in Grand Rapids. So, you know, the opportunity for travel is pretty huge.
Yeah, I heard that you recently did a little seminar at a college here in Pasadena, which is not too far away from me, and I thought that was pretty cool. I hope someday I can go in and talk to a big group of people. Do you have anything else like that coming up, any big events or any releases that you want to talk about? Anything
well,
you can tell
there's a lot of, you know what, there's actually something that I can tell you guys, you and all of your listeners exclusively, because nobody knows it yet, not even my Twitter followers. What they do know is that Team Wicked is a group that I put together to do the LA AIDS Walk this year. I'm involved in some charity work, and the LA AIDS Walk is a great cause, you know, something that we're all really concerned about. And I put together Team Wicked, and we're doing some fundraising for it. And you can read all about it on my blog. It's InsideJB.blogspot.com. And I just did an offer. I've never done Skype shows with anyone before, and I get requested for them constantly. And I set up a new type of incentive for people that donate to Team Wicked for the AIDS Block LA. And you guys can see that on my blog. And everything else, basically, all of my appearances, my radio show, dancing, you name it, it's all going to show up on the blog. Like, I don't want to take too much time just plugging all my stuff. I'd rather talk to you. You're fascinating.
We'll definitely get everybody a link to the blog after the show so that you guys can check that out. And the AIDS Walk, that is super awesome to be a part of something so big like that, too. It's definitely a good cause to give to. And who doesn't want to help out the industry as well? I heard there were some issues on that side where people were kind of getting a little scared. And, you know, it's all about awareness. And I feel like if more people were informed and more people knew all the precautions and knew everything that they could do, that everyone would be much, much, much safer in the long run. And I actually get a lot of questions from girls who are concerned about stuff like that, and they're too scared or embarrassed to talk to anyone. They don't know where to go to maybe get tested, or, you know, they don't want to have to ask anyone that knows them personally. They're just scared. And so being really open and aware about it and kind of just being able to talk to people freely about it really kind of helps younger people out. I haven't noticed as many older people kind of having the problem, but young people all the time, early 20s, I get so many questions about going and getting tested and where they can go and who they can talk to. And so it's a good thing to kind of promote to people.
Well, I mean, I think that's really the thing, and that's what I'm trying to do, is bridge the gap between the information, the limited information that young people get in schools for sex education, and what's really applicable in the real world. Because, I mean, like a lot of people that are listening to the show right now or watching the show, I learned anatomy. I mean, I know penis, vagina, how babies are made. Like, that was the sex talk that I got, right? And some people didn't even get that. But what I wish I would have, masturbation, how to say no. People are having sex because it feels amazing, you know. Date rape, consent, the effects of alcohol on sex. I mean, there's so many important things, I think, that affect younger people. And you're absolutely right. They have nobody to ask these questions to, because if they're asking a teacher or a professor or a doctor, a lot of the time we tend to stigmatize and shame things that we don't understand. So when people are being put down for having an STI, or people are being shamed because they've had sex with multiple people, all that does is reinforce that stigma. And it's so dangerous to do that, because the more you shame people, the less they want to talk about sex. We should always want to talk about sex. And I try to be the resource that, when I do my seminars, I'm the resource that anyone can come to and ask me anything, you know, absolutely anything.
Yeah, and definitely having a nice, pretty, sweet girl to talk to about it, it makes other girls think, oh, I can talk to them. They're not going to want to go and have a talk with their mom, or they're not going to want to have a talk with maybe their older male doctor. But seeing someone who's kind of in the same, you know, age group as you, or, you know, is out doing the same things as you, it's cool to kind of have that in common with someone. Just, it makes you feel like you can kind of open up to them and talk to them a little more about it. And the way that I'm really open with sex, I meet a lot of people who just start telling me all about what they're into, and, you know, maybe their family doesn't agree with it, or, you know, problems they may be having. And they all end up saying to me, you're so open, I just felt like I could talk to you, and I've never told this to anyone, or I don't know who else to talk to. But within moments of meeting people, I've had people just tell me crazy stuff, because they're just desperate to have someone to tell, and it's so hard to connect with people, and it's so hard to kind of find someone that you can share that kind of information with. So I'm sure that on a larger scale, you probably get tons of questions, and you get the opportunity to kind of help people and explain things to people, and that's really awesome. I wish there was more that I could do to kind of spread the word, but we're getting there.
I think that your show is so incredibly valuable to people. And it's such a great resource because, you know, like I said, the more comfortable they get, the more they're going to want to talk about it.
And the more they see, too. I've noticed a lot of kind of censoring on the internet lately. A lot of people are offended by butt cheeks and boobs. And, you know, I have a lot of friends who are models. They've been getting Facebook bans and silly stuff like that for, you know, just showing a little bit of butt cheek. And I think that's so silly that in this day and age that someone is offended by the human body, and especially something like a butt cheek. I actually compared it to the Coppertone baby where they had little Drew Barrymore running and the dog was pulling down her cloth diaper and you could see her butt cheeks. And that was so cute back in the day, but now they actually have the diaper covering up her crack completely on the bottle, like the butt crack is something so sinful. And it just makes me wonder how we could regress like that. From it being okay to have a butt crack on the bottle in the 70s is now something so horrific. Even, you know, mainstream like Facebook, someone reports you for having a little bit of butt cheek in your pictures. And I don't know, it seems strange to me. There's a lot of people who are against being open about sex, so I kind of feel like I have to fight to kind of keep my side of it going, to push towards being more open about it, whereas other people are trying to kind of shush us and cover things up. And I don't understand how we regress like that, but we have. Have you noticed a lot of censorship?
Yeah, absolutely. And usually, like, for instance, I've been in areas before doing seminars where they can't say oral sex. They can't put it on a flyer to advertise the type of seminar we're having. And you know they certainly can't say anal sex. I think that those people are the people that need it the most, because usually the more conservative of the area that I'm in doing some outreach, the more questions I get. And I think sometimes also the kinkier the people are in those really conservative areas.
That is definitely true. When I was a phone sex operator, I did my own billing for the company that I worked for. So basically the customer would call in and give me their address and their payment information. So I got to kind of find out where each person was from. And after a few years of doing that job, you could kind of put together, like, this state has a lot of people that are into this fetish, and this state has a lot of people who are into this fetish. And it really is kind of zoned out like that. And I know it's strange, but it really is zoned out like that. People in smaller areas are into some freaky stuff. And I feel like that's because sex is so closed off and taboo to them, like, that it gives them that kind of, I don't know, extra mile that they want to go and want to see, and only because they haven't been exposed to everything. And it seems like people who are in bigger areas are actually more conservative when it comes to their sex practices, and it's strange. It makes me wonder if more people were really open about sex, if it would kind of mesh everything together, and then all of the people who aren't really into kinky stuff would start getting kinkier. And I don't know, it would be a lot of fun if we could get everyone on the same boat.
Yeah, and I mean, I think though also to some extent, if we could take cues from parts of the rest of the world that are so open-minded and sex is not such a big deal to them, you know, I think that might be really beneficial to us. I do a lot of international travel. I was over in Norway doing some conventions. I'll be in South Africa at the end of next month. You know, I go all over the place, and it's just really interesting to see that they don't necessarily share the same repressive views on sex as some people in the States do.
Yeah, I've had family who has lived in different parts of the world, and they've told me that especially in Asian countries that they're really kinky over there, and they're really open with sex, like it's something you can discuss at the dinner table in Taiwan, and it's something that no matter how kinky, I mean, I've heard some kinky stuff come out of Taiwan, and it's all dinner table appropriate there. Families, they're really open about sex with each other. Moms talk to their sons about it after school. Like, they're just really open with what they do, and that's awesome. And, you know, I hope someday that we're living in a place where your kid comes home from school and is, you know, thinking about maybe having sex for the first time, and they feel perfectly comfortable talking to their mom about it without it being weird, because I know that it's not like that now here, but maybe someday.
I think it should be, for sure. I mean, and I can tell you that quite possibly the best sex club I've ever been to was in Berlin, and that was a riot. I mean, there I was in an environment where I was even seeing things that I had never seen before, and I like to think that I've seen a lot of stuff, so.
Oh, I want to go to Berlin. We have some pretty weird kind of underground clubs here in Houston that I've been to, and those were pretty crazy, but I can only imagine, like, on an international scale, how cool it would be to kind of see how other parts of the world get down and dirty with each other.
Well, is Iniquity still around? Years ago, I went to Iniquity and a couple of other groups that were there in Houston, but it's been a while.
I don't know. I haven't heard of Iniquity, but like I said, a lot of them, it's weird. People in Houston kind of click together, and it depends on what little group you're into, what kind of little fetish underground things you can kind of get into and check out. We have two callers. Do you think we could take a question? Would you want to answer a question or two? We only have a couple minutes left, so guys are going to have to make it quick.
Okay, here's the first one from Louisville, Kentucky. Hello, Louisville.
Yes,
you're on the line.
Oh, hi. Thank you. Yes, I just want to call in. This is kind of tough for me to say out loud, but I actually have a micropenis. And I was wondering that how could I sell that to women and how to make that really attractive? Because as I understand, it'll just barely hit the G-spot, so it's something that women are really into. But how can I really, you know, work with that? I mean, you know, they say it's not how long it is, but how you use it. But I really just want to know, you know, how I can, like, you know, like, use it.
Well,
Emily, do you want
to go first? Yeah. There's a lot of stuff you can do, and I would say obviously, you can use your penis to please her, but if you're trying to reach a spot that your penis just won't reach, there are so many different techniques that you can read about online with your hands that you can do to reach the G-spot. They have special toys that you can use to reach the G-spot, a whole array of toys. If you've never used up sex toys, that's definitely a whole night's worth of window shopping. And then they even have penis extenders if you want to try that. I've had a lot of customers who've tried that, which is basically just a little silicone thing you slide over the end of it, and that kind of gives you a little bit of extra length, and you can get in places you might not have been able to reach previously. But check out NookieBox.com. I know they have a great line of sex toys. They have all sorts of stuff there, and you can find some pretty entertaining stuff for you and your lady friend.
And another thing that you might consider is that, like Emily was saying, sex doesn't just have to be about penetration with your penis. Like, you can always incorporate toys and things. And what I believe is that it's like all of your senses. They say if you lose your sense of sight, your hearing is more intensified. I think if you're not counting on the fact that you have a huge penis and that's guaranteed to satisfy a woman every time, which it actually does not, you're more likely to develop other skills. So your oral skills may be seriously advanced, and I hope that they are, and you may be better with your fingers, and you may be better at digitally finding a woman's G-spot. I think a lot of emphasis is often just placed on penetration, and 80% of women do not orgasm just from penetration. It's all about clitoral stimulation or G-spot stimulation or other stimulation of different erogenous zones. So just play and experiment, and there are definitely ways for you to satisfy a woman.
Wow. Well, there you go.
Hurrah. Okay, next caller.
Okay, this is from New Mexico. New Mexico, you're on the line. Hello, New Mexico.
Uh-oh, did we lose New Mexico?
I think we might have.
Don't be scared.
Oh. Yep, I think we lost them.
We're getting ready to wrap up the end of the show, but before we go, I'm sure the big question on everyone's mind, it was my Facebook question of the week. What is your favorite sex position? I think everybody wants to know what Jessica Drake's favorite sex position is.
Okay, I have a couple of them. On camera, it's probably standing doggy with my right leg up because I have a curve on the inside, and if I'm standing up having sex, I love it doggy style. But if my right leg is up, it just hits that spot perfectly. But if I'm not on camera, I like special doggy, and special doggy to me is when I'm laying flat on the bed, just completely flat, with my legs closed, and the guy is banging me from behind. It's a sort of doggy style, but different, and it's really great because then your clit can rub against the mattress or the couch or your hand or whatever it is that you're on, whatever you're humping on. But it's a really intense sensation. So I'd say those are probably two of my favorites.
Those are good ones, too. What I like about the first one is you said that you have to put one of your legs up. That's another thing. What sex positions work for some people work different for others because we're all shaped differently on the inside and on the outside. So what feels amazing to one person might not feel so good for another person. So you do have to kind of experiment and move your legs around and move your arms around and, you know, switch your angles every here and there. Try different things because you never know what might hit that perfect spot. And once you find it, you'll never go back.
It's so true. And you know what? I tell people all the time, whenever the woman raises her legs, the angle and the penetration is deeper. So if you're starting out in like a regular missionary position and the woman has her legs down on the bed, yeah, you can get in there. That's great. The higher she raises those legs up, if they're around your waist, if they're around your shoulders, or if they're back around her head, penetration is going to get deeper and deeper and deeper.
That was the position I picked to talk about earlier. Somebody told me, they sent me a link. They said it's called the folded deck chair. And it's basically missionary, but with your legs up on the guy's shoulders. And that's one of my favorite positions because it's simple like missionary. It's kind of a sweet position because you get that face-to-face contact for kissing or whatever else you may be doing. You get the whole, you know, having the guy on top of you thing, which is pretty cool. But then raising your legs up above your head, it's kind of like adding whipped cream to an already delicious banana split because it does allow the guy to kind of get deeper in there. And it feels way different. It's nothing like missionary. It's a completely different thing. But all you have to do is move your legs up. So there's so many different things I want to try now that I have this weird list of sex positions on my computer.
I have got to give a shout out to somebody right now in your chat room because I've been watching you. I don't mean to creep you out, but I've been watching you while we do this interview. And I think it's awesome that you're actually streaming live where people can see you too. But Jack Trucker says that we're using too many words. Let me simplify it for you. Guys put it in, pile drive till they're done, and a woman fix food. That's funny because sometimes after I'm done getting off when I have sex, I make the guy go and make me a sandwich.
Yeah, I don't know if it happened to you, but if I have really good sex, my legs shake. Like, my legs are just trembly and terrible, and I don't want to move. So if the guy goes and makes me a sandwich, brownie points for him, because if you're doing a good job, the woman shouldn't want to get up and go make a sandwich. She should be exhausted and laying there in all of her after-sex glory.
You're exactly right.
Ah, well, we're going over the show now, but I had so much fun talking to you, and thank you so much for coming on. You're super awesome, and I will share the link to your blog after the show so everybody can go check out all the stuff you have coming up. And like you said earlier, you kind of get around the U.S., so maybe a lot of our listeners who aren't in Texas can go check out one of your events that are maybe in Michigan or Florida, because, like I said, you travel around a lot, so you can reach that larger audience. And everyone who's listened in tonight, you can have your chance to go check her out in person.
That would be wonderful. Thank you so much for having me on the show. You're gorgeous. I really appreciate you taking the time with me. I would be honored to have you on my show as well. Thanks to all the listeners. Thanks to everybody in the chat room, even you, Jack Tucker. I've been reading your stuff all night. Take care.
All right. Good night.
Thanks, Emily. Good night.
And there you have it, folks. This has been another episode of Nocturnal Addictions, hosted by alt model Emily Snow, with special guest, sexpert Jessica Drake tonight. I want to thank everybody who listened, and a future thank you for everyone who's listening to the stream and downloading the podcast. Thanks for tuning in and listening. And we will be back next Wednesday with an all-new episode of Nocturnal Addictions. Emily, are you going out tonight?
Maybe. I don't want to give away my secrets.
I got you. Well, if you do, be careful and be safe. And we'll talk to you all next Wednesday night.
Oh, good night, everyone.
Hey everyone, it's your favorite fetish doll, Emily Snow. Make sure to tune into my new show, Nocturnal Addictions, where we answer all your freaky questions.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.